When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, y'all? Happy weekend. It's Morgan here, and this is my favorite part of the Best Bits podcast because I get to bring on a fellow show member, and we get to talk about life and all the exciting things that are going on. And this weekend, I have a listener favorite. It's Scuba Steve. What's up, Scuba?
Yo, a listener. I always love hearing that. I still feel like you're lying to me, but that's okay.
I'm not lying to you, but you guys are all their favorites. So.
Exactly.
But you do get a lot of more comments, okay. I should say. So
Cool.
It should make you feel good.
I appreciate the feedback.
Yes. I'm very excited. You know, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm a little bit hungover because I went to the Carrie Underwood concert last night. So we are.
Yes. I saw something. I saw a tweet here of yours this morning when I was getting up super early. And I was like, today is going to be a rough day when I read something that says, my buzz has worn off. It's past my bedtime, and I shouldn't have eaten cake. I was like, today's going to be really cool.
I woke up and saw that I tweeted that. I was like, what in the world was I possibly thinking?
It was hilarious.
Yes, it was. I know the moment that this happened, but I still like woke up and things were a little fuzzy. Yeah, it was a good time, but yeah. I'm struggling. Struggle bus.
Yes, it's all
and,
good.
You know, we got a lot going on, but this may be a little chaotic.
That's fine. I'm good with it.
That's who we are, so that makes sense. We're going to kick things off at Lunchbox. He used the water bottle test to see if his wife is cheating, and this is just kind of a whole thing in itself because it came from TikTok, and Lunchbox trying it on his wife, and his wife is way too smart for that. She's like, what are you doing? But he got audio of the whole thing, and we basically found out if she's cheating on him, and yeah, spoiler, she's not.
She's not, yeah, exactly.
You know, but you'll see that here in a bit. There are foods, apparently, that are very unique to the United States. And I want to know, if you were to move abroad, which one of these could you live without?
Without, okay, gotcha.
Yep, so like you go abroad, you're like, never going to have these again, that's okay.
Okay.
Or you're going to try and smuggle them into Europe.
To bring it in, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter? That's only in America?
Yep, so like there's, from my understanding, there might be versions of these, but these are like, these legit, like they don't taste the same. They could be a version of peanut butter, but it's not the peanut butter that you know and love here.
It's only in, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
I think I'd be okay with that because overseas they got Nutella and things like that. Mm. So I could survive.
Yeah, and you know, as I've gotten older, I really love almond butter.
Almond butter, yes.
Hell over peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, and I didn't anticipate that because when I first made this switch, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I'm like, I love almond butter over
great.
Peanut butter. Yeah, so I did something about it. So I'm with you. I think I could go without it. But yeah, I do love Nutella when they put them in like the crepes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a crepe. Woo.
Yeah, a little croissant.
My grandma used to make us crepes. Croissant. My grandma used to make us crepes. We had a little crepe maker, but except for we were like sugar kids. So the only thing she, I'm sure crepes, I found out as an adult, they are more than just what we had, but we just in our crepes solely, it was just the crepe. And then she'd put like powdered sugar down the middle, like it was cocaine or something. She lined it with, yeah, she lined it with sugar cocaine and then rolled it up like a joint. And that was like our breakfast on the weekends.
Oh my God.
The sugar and a crepe.
Do you do this with your kids now? Have you passed on the tradition?
I haven't yet because I need to get that crepe maker. I haven't seen it anywhere. It's one of those like ass seen on TV things from the 80s. Mm. And my grandma's got it. So when next time I'm back home in Orlando, I'm going to sneak it and take it.
I was going to say, you may have to take it because I don't think she's making crepes anymore.
I don't think she is either. Yeah. I don't think she get her wrists are too weak now. She can't pick anything up.
Yep. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Barbecue sauce.
Oh, that'd be really tough. I could make my own barbecue sauce. So I guess I could live without it because I'd make it.
How would you make it?
So I make a Carolina version type barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
From off the top of my head, it's usually like a sweeter based one. So I'll put like brown sugar to keep it sweet. But I think it's from what I can remember off the top of my head, it's like a vinegar, ketchup, brown sugar, sugar, mustard, and like a few other things. And you boil it on a pot. And
isn't that weird about barbecue sauce, how it's made with other sauces?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, think about the people that love barbecue sauce, especially in maybe, you know, some of the places that are full, like restaurants, they don't. Maybe they use different things. But the fact that, like, the thing that you're remembering has ketchup and mustard in it, wild. Yeah,
exactly. Condiments to make a condiment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, homemade barbecue sauce instead of the store-bought version.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. I could live without it because I don't eat meat.
Okay. True for you. Yeah.
So, it just really kind of goes to the wayside anyway.
It's a meat condiment. Yeah.
I do really love, this is a strange thing though, there's a place in town called Tailgate Brewery that I love, and they make homemade chips and they put barbecue sauce like smothered in them with like melted cheese.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And it's amazing.
I love homemade chips when they slice the potato and they, oh my, it's like In-N-Out, but chip, yes.
Yep, go to Tailgate Brewery and they make like these loaded homemade potato chips, barbecue sauce, cheese. You can get meat on them and they're served with ranch.
Tailgate Brewery?
Yes.
It sounds like, is that a national chain?
It's sounds not, familiar. I don't think so. I've only seen it here.
Okay.
But there's a few of them in town.
Okay.
So they've like kind of chained in Nashville, if that's a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like maybe a local chain.
Yes. Gotcha. And they have good beer and everything. But yeah, you will love this place.
Okay. All right, cool. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar, but I've never seen it before.
Uh-huh. There's one in Midtown. You probably have driven by it. But I go to the headquarters one. That's the really cool one. Very kid friendly too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen this before. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. You would like those.
Really cool.
Do you like barbecue sauce?
Hell yeah, I do.
What about cereal?
Cereal. They don't have cereal anywhere else but here. This is truly an American thing.
Yep. Somebody said they moved abroad and they're like, I really miss seeing the aisles of cereal because it's just not thing, you know, and especially in like Europe and some of these other places, our food, based on what I've seen on TikTok, our food is just so sugary and so processed. And that's just really not how most of the other countries' foods are.
Yeah, I've seen that. And then our portions are like, Americans are so dang fat. They're like, you eat so much, you have so much sugar. Da, 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 da. It's like, yeah, but you're not living a good life because we got some damn good food over here and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we're all addicted. Is the problem.
I'm okay with adult onset diabetes. I don't give a crap. Give me that damn sugar. Yeah. I want it.
Yep. So what about cereal? Could you live without it?
I could not live without cereal. There is no effing way.
You're not doing well so far.
I would not do it. That's why I haven't left America. I mean, I'll travel. I mean, the furthest I've traveled is places that are still close enough to America, like the Bahamas and Mexico.
You're going to be that guy that smuggles in with your suitcase of food.
Oh, I'm bringing some cereal. Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, number one cereal for you.
Number one cereal. I think as a kid, it was, I liked Lucky Charms, but I was always pissed because my sister would get the box before we could, like as soon as we come back from the PX, which was like this Navy base type shopping thing, she would come back with a box of Lucky Charms. That effing afternoon, she'd open it up and I'd hear her eating all of the marshmallows. And so the next morning we'd wake up and it'd just be the freaking, you know, the other parts of the Lucky Charms that no one wants. So I like Lucky Charms, but I never really got it until I was an adult. So I'd say my adult cereal will be Lucky Charms because I finally got to have the marshmallows.
Mm. Yep. But, no longer ruined for you.
Yeah. But as a child, this sounds really weird, but I grew up with my grandparents. So I used to love and I still love the oatmeal squares. You ever seen those?
I have seen them. I don't know what they're like. official name is.
I think it's Oatmeal Squares. It's like Quaker Oats Oatmeal Squares.
Oh, okay. And Quaker Oats. So it's not Kellogg's, the like one brand that I know of.
No. No, I believe it. The, like, you know, the Quaker Oat guy, like the cartoon guy with the blue hat.
I know him because of oatmeal, but I don't know him from cereal. Oatmeal.
Yes. So it's not a cereal that most children or probably any children would ever order or ask for, but it looks like this. And it's usually like a brown sugar flavor. I'm sure you've seen it on the aisle.
Oh yeah. Okay. I have seen this,
but you've never picked it up. Cause why the hell would you get this?
Yeah, no. Out of all the options, that's not one I would choose.
It's an over 70 person type cereal, which is why I had it. Cause my grandparents, but man, I'll tell you what, I could eat six or seven of those bowls sometimes on a Sunday morning, or if we were to skip school and stay home and watch Price is Right, I would slam some Quaker Oats.
I mean,
squares.
Does it taste like the brown sugar cinnamon oatmeal?
So I don't like oatmeal, so I don't know. Oh. I've had oatmeal once and I almost threw up.
Okay, well, let me tell you, this is the best, like the only option for oatmeal is this brown sugar cinnamon. Just like, you know how the Pop-Tart, have you had the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart?
Yeah. God, yeah.
Like, clutch.
Don't tell me they don't have Pop-Tarts overseas either. Is that on the list or we don't know?
That's not on the list, but I don't think it's going to be overseas based on this list.
So if it's got sugar in it and it tastes good, it's not going to be overseas.
Probably not. If it's processed, yeah, it's probably not.
Okay, gotcha. And processed.
But yeah, OG taste. So like that's what I think of when I think of these oatmeal squares. Okay. So did it have like this very kind of sugar cinnamony taste to it?
It did. It was very plain and bland, but then that sugar would come through and kick, especially when you drink the milk afterwards. And you can taste it. And oh my God, did I love it. I love it so much. And I think I also loved honeycombs as well. Remember honeycombs?
Yeah, like, but out of all the fruity, like sugary options, these are the two that you're choosing.
I mean, if I only could eat one cereal for the rest of my life, it'd be oatmeal squares. And I'd be okay with it. Yeah, it's
wild. I think I saw in that box too, they got like 10 grams of protein for like a healthy cereal.
Yeah. And a 7-year-old eating that, like that was like, I loved it.
Well, in all fairness, the cereal that I loved growing up was Raisin Bran.
Ooh, okay. So it's kind of okay.
Yeah.
It is kind of also an old person cereal, which I love Raisin Bran too.
My dad ate it and it was always at the house. And we even always had Fruity Pebbles. But let me tell you what I did with this Raisin Bran. Okay. It might have been healthy. The great choice because it had raisins and almonds and, you know, the good cereal in it. But what I did, and this is probably why I liked it, is I doused it in sugar.
You put more sugar in it?
I had this cereal and then I had milk. And on the top of it, I would just douse it.
Oh my God.
Don't ask me how I learned or figure this out.
To put on, yeah.
But for years, I couldn't eat Raisin Bran without sugar on top of it. God. And it already had so much sugar.
It does. I feel like those raisins, because they're the way they're processed, they're like packed full of sugar pellets.
Oh, yeah. This is not a healthy cereal. Like it disguises itself as one.
Because the grain side of it, yeah.
Yeah, it is not. It is especially not. How I ate it, it isn't.
No, and it gave me gas. I remember I was farting all day long.
This is why it's an older people's cereal.
Exactly, yeah. First, my grandpa would fart, and then I would follow with some parts of it, and then the whole house would just smell awful.
Oh my God, that's funny. So this is why you're sticking to the oatmeal squares. Yeah, yeah. This makes sense.
Less gassier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I've, you know, at least broadened my horizons, and now my really big favorite is when they put and this is a new one they released, Fruity Pebbles with marshmallows.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So good.
Oh, because I love Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles.
Yes. And it's if you mixed Lucky Charms and Fruity Pebbles, but like the best parts of them.
Yeah. It's like TGIF Fridays. Did you ever watch that? TGIF
Yes.
Fridays? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When like you'd be on you watch Family Matters and someone from Step by Step would come on the show and you'd be like, whoa, there's Suzanne Summers on the set of this. Like, how is that possible?
Like the best day ever.
Exactly. Then she had to rush over to her other set because her show's about to start in 20 minutes. How is she going to do this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool.
It's exactly like that. It's like combining all your favorite things.
That's so badass. I have to try that now.
Oh, you'll love it.
Because my oldest is almost 5 now, and he's like, he loves cereal. And so I'm all about like reliving the cereal again with him.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's so good.
Okay. Cool.
And it should still be out there. I think they kept it because it performed really well.
Oh, so it was limited time. And then they were like, got to keep it.
I think. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's still out there.
Hell yeah. Okay, cool.
There's our cereal chat for the day.
All right.
What about Kraft mac and cheese?
Yeah, I can live. I mean, as a kid, I couldn't, but now as an adult, I really don't care. My son couldn't live without it because he loves macaroni and cheese. But again, I can make homemade macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, and there's so many versions of like pasta cheese basically at this point that especially probably in Europe, you could totally evolve.
Oh my God, yeah, you're near Italy. You can get really good homemade pasta from people who created pasta.
I feel like that one we could do without.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of another bad meal that I had growing up, I used to eat mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and bread with butter. That was my dinner.
You sound like my sister.
Well, I was vegetarian. Like, my parents were like, what do we feed you? Everything was cheese. Everything was cheese. It was grilled cheese, cheese pizza, mac and cheese. Like, they had one food group.
True. Especially back then, too. I mean, vegetarians, especially where you grew up in Kansas, mm-hmm. people were probably like, vegetarian, what the hell? What the hell's wrong with your kid?
Yeah, there wasn't, like, veggie options of things. No,
come on. In the South, forget about it. That was more like a West Coast. Even then, the West Coast, it was still kind of newer. Mm-hmm. Did you eat the Velveeta one where you could scrape the cheese out of it?
Oh, I did love Velveeta. Okay. I did. But listen, that Kraft mac and cheese, chef's kiss. Powdered. If I ever genuinely am like so nostalgic and just need like a taste of home, I make Kraft mac and cheese. Uh-huh. I get some home style golden potatoes mashed. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get a slice of white bread.
With some butter.
Not toasted. Yeah. Butter.
Oh, you wouldn't even toast it?
No.
You at least put it in the microwave and nuke it a little bit so it's a little warm and the butter would melt?
No, it was so good. Oh, my God. Like, I genuinely look back as my diet as a kid. And I was ripped. Like, granted, I played a lot of sports. So I think that really balanced.
Metabolism was super high, yeah.
Yes. But the things that I ate, oh, my gosh.
Like, how is it possible that I'm still here?
I don't understand in any capacity. So, yeah, that was my Kraft mac and cheese days. So that's why I think I can go without.
Yeah, totally. That does make sense thinking about it now. Like, you grew up in an era where vegetarians weren't a thing and you lived in an area where it wasn't. So it must have been really difficult for your parents to find things to feed you. Like, what the hell do we feed her? We don't even know what to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I didn't like anything. I was at that time because I was so young. I didn't want broccoli. I didn't want green beans.
You're a picky kid, yeah.
I wanted the best food, and that was cereal and stuff, cheese and carbs.
Exactly. And as a parent, you're like, as long as she's eating, I don't give a crap.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, who cares? That's what you get to. You're like, as long as she's fed and isn't hangry, feed her whatever she wants.
Yep, but see, that's the problem now. My metabolism is not the same. I cannot eat that stuff anymore.
Exactly, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, this is why I have a gluten intolerance now.
Yeah,
Oh, man. Okay, well, we'll end it on this one, ranch. Okay.
Ranch? I don't give a crap about ranch.
At all?
I can go away forever. I think it's gross.
Oh, scuba.
Ugh, I don't like ranch.
Well, hey, speaking of cheese, Velveeta cheese is also on this list.
Okay, cool. That'd be tough. But I can get over it because I've progressed in life past that.
Okay, we've moved forward. Taco seasoning's also on this list.
Taco seasoning, it's in my pantry. I use it, but I could go without it.
Cornbread.
At one point in time, I would be like, hell no, I need it. But I'm over. I don't really care.
Okay. Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I don't like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah. I like Cheetos. I don't really care about the Flamin' ones.
Yeah. And when Bobby shared that fun fact about Cheetos in the World War II, created, I'm like, we probably should have looked into that more.
Yeah.
It's a little sketchy. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup would be tough because I love breakfast. I'm a breakfast person and I love me some syrup on my waffles or pancakes.
Yeah.
That'd be real tough to be without.
Yeah. How do you eat like pancakes, French toast, waffles without maple syrup?
Yeah. Maybe they don't have those things. This is overseas or this is outside of the United States of America?
Just outside of the United States.
Okay. Then I just moved to Canada then where they are big on maple syrup and I'd still be okay.
Yes. I think there's maybe some that have some of these.
Okay. But not what we are, like you said.
Just not what we're known
what
to.
We're used to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Reese's peanut butter cups.
That'd be really hard. I love those. Mm-hmm. That'd be tough.
Like I said, it's basically all of our processed food.
Yeah. Although they have really good candy overseas, like in Europe. Like they have like the Kinders and all that crap that they have. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd be okay. I'd find something there I could enjoy.
Yeah. And freaking Belgium, they have the whole, that's where chocolate was made.
Yeah. I think it would be okay. I'd be able to find something similar to it, if not better.
But I do know that like when you get cravings for thing and nostalgia and then you can't ever... I have learned if I get a craving for something, I can't make up for it. I just have to like satisfy that craving in some capacity, or I'm just going to eat a bunch of stuff that's not going to satisfy the craving.
And I'll try and they won't feel. I remember when I first moved to California, I was like, man, I'm going to miss me some Publix subs.
Ooh, Publix subs.
Oh, I was like, I really want one. And I went to a place called Safeway, which is like their version of Publix. And I remember my first day at work and I went over there. I was like, man, I really want a sub. And like you, I went to where they make their subs. It was fine. Mm. But man, it wasn't a Publix sub at all because it didn't come with the good sweet tea and those brand of chips they always had. It's freaking amazing. And so for like almost 15 years, I was like,
you need it.
I needed it. So whenever I'd go back home to Orlando to visit family, I was like, I need to go to Publix to get a pub sub. I want to go to Tijuana Flats and get their queso whatever thing, and I want to go to an Orlando Magic game. The three things that I can't get over in California.
Oh, yeah. And those are very specific to Florida. Like, there's no getting them over there.
No, not at all. No, not so whatever.
I had my first pub sub when I moved to Nashville.
Okay.
Like, maybe 2 years ago, I had my first one.
Oh, damn. Because, yeah, you didn't have Publix. Yeah, for the longest time, Publix was just in Florida.
Yeah.
They only recently expanded outside to go further north. Okay, that makes sense for you.
Yeah. So, Hillary, that used to work on the show,
she's
from Florida.
Big on it. Oh, yeah.
She's a huge Publix fan. Oh, yeah. When we had to go get food for a float trip, she's like, we need pub subs. I'm like, what the heck is a pub sub? I'm like, is that a sandwich? Like,
we go to some bar and drink, you know, yeah. What is the thing?
Yeah. Like, what are we doing? And yeah, she was right though. And you are right. It is the most delicious sandwich I think I've had. It compares to like how you go and get pub sub. I go home and get Goodsons, which is like my favorite sandwich place.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I got a year of free sandwiches from there when I was in college, and it was cool. The best year of my life.
So it's called Good, like, Sense, like since you've been gone?
Like money.
Oh, like Sense. Oh, good that Sense. Mm-hmm. Good Sense. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, what was her signature thing that what they were known for?
It wasn't
for?
Like a pub sub, but they just, all their ingredients are so fresh. Like, just, they, right then and there, and it was just everything about, and they made this cheese mix, which is my favorite sandwich.
Okay.
Where they put like five different cheeses on it.
That's
and
awesome.
It's like, and I eat cold sandwiches most of the time because I don't have meat on them.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it was just so good. Like something about how their ingredients, the bread that they make, I can't explain it to you, Scuba.
Well, you have to explain to me how you got free subs for a year though.
I entered a drawing and
Really?
Got chosen.
And they picked you?
Yeah. Freshman year of college, can you imagine?
That's bad. I always put my name in those damn boxes at the front where it's like it's usually like get a free meal or whatever. I've seen the ones where it's like free for a year, yep. And they never freaking pick me ever.
Yeah,
I never know anyone they ever picked, which I always thought it was a bullcrap contest that no one ever, they just wanted you for a mailing list or something. I never thought anyone ever won these things.
That is also true.
Okay, yeah.
You do get put on a lot of mailing lists.
Yeah, I would get a lot of emails and phone calls and text messages that I didn't want about their 10% off or whatever. But you actually are a real person that won.
Yep, and a year of free sandwiches. And let me tell you, I used every bit of that card as a freshman in college.
Is Good Sense still around?
Oh, yeah.
This is
when I go home for Christmas, I always get one.
This is in Wichita?
Yep, they have them in... like all of Kansas.
Oh, it's
so
a chain.
Like,
Good Sense Deli Fresh Subs.
I think it's in the Midwest. I don't think it's expanded past the Midwest.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah. Well, they can find your location. They have a whole map.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. So just like very fresh ingredients.
Okay.
For like a good sandwich shop. And never underestimate a good sandwich shop.
Oh, hell no. Oh, no. There's a spot in the Bay that me and my wife, it's another one of those ones where, like, if we go back to the Bay, we got to go there. Mr. Pickles. And if I could expand and franchise them here in Nashville, I would love to do that. Because same like you, it's all about the fresh ingredients. They're really, really good. They have really good bread that they put in there. There's like Cuban sweet bread they usually use and then Dutch crunch bread. And then they've got the fresh baked cookies. And it's just such a really, really good sandwich shop. Really good.
Like I've found some places here and they're like, you know, like I said, Pub Sub and there's
fine
things. But it just never compares to the one that you know and you love and remember.
So your spot, Good Sense, is all throughout Missouri, Kansas, a little bit. Well, actually, not even in Kansas. It's in Kansas City, but I guess.
There's one in Manhattan, which is my college town in Kansas.
I wonder why it's not popping up on the map. And then they have Arkansas.
And Wichita. There's obviously two there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just may not be on the map right there. But yeah, they're definitely there.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll have to put that
on
the list.
So the Midwest of areas.
Yeah, Midwest for
sure. If you ever find yourself driving through Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a bunch in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah.
They're really good. Chain. I would definitely choose them over Subway every day.
Oh, yeah. The headquarters is DeSoto, Kansas. So I imagine it's where they started, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Hey,
cool.
Kansas got the food. We also are the home of Pizza Hut. So.
Hell yeah. Exactly. Pizza Hut's awesome.
Yeah.
Another nostalgic place.
I know. Okay. We could talk about food all day. This could turn into a food podcast.
It will.
And you and I are going to be hungry and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. I'm hangry because I haven't had food yet.
I know,
so
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But we had to talk about it.
It's fine. It's all good.
We did also have to talk about rejected segments on the show this week. That's coming in at number 6.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to talk about the rejected segments. But this is one of my rejected segments that didn't make it on Rejected or the show.
Or anywhere. It's dead.
Yep. It's dead until
segments.
Here.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Revived on the best bits.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it's pretty funny because I need to tell you a story and I want to know if this has ever happened for you.
Okay.
The question is, who's the wildest person you've caught sneaking a peek at your Instagram stories?
Okay.
And the reason this is getting brought up is because recently, amazingly have a lot of followers on there and that's really cool. And so most of the time I don't really see anyone I know in my stories. It's just a bunch of people. But one face looked very particular this past week, and she was popping up a few times, and it was my high school bully.
Oh, wow.
Bet you didn't see that one coming.
No, you're going to be like, and it was Tom Cruise. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mean, that would be really cool.
Bully.
That'd be really cool.
Holy crap, that's hilarious.
Uh-huh, and I was like,
is she your best friend now? She loves everything you do?
I mean, she's definitely very curious about what I do and what I've been up to. And I saw her, and she did it a few days. Like, it wasn't just one day and, like, you know, accidentally saw it. It was a few days. So I don't even know if maybe she's still looking at it, and she's like, you know, fan of the show, and something has happened, but I'm like, oh my gosh, have the tables turned? So that was my very interesting moment. I saw this happen, and I was like, and all the things that I ever thought to happen, that was not one of them.
Not at all. If you get a DM that says, hey, by chance, you got any Morgan Wallen tickets when he comes to town? Mm-hmm. Then you know the objective and the agenda here.
Oh, yeah. But listen, there was never a, you know, that was never fixed. That was never reconciled. Like, it's still.
So it's still up in the air.
It's still not a good situation.
Got it. Cool, cool, cool.
So that's mine.
Wow. Okay.
What about you?
So I was thinking, I had a couple of them. And I was thinking about the one from a while back, and it was on Twitter. And it was even more, it was so weird. You ever heard of Devin Sawa?
Devin Sawa.
He most recently was in the Chucky TV show franchise, but he was the teenage heartthrob in the 90s. He was in Casper, Little Giants.
Oh, okay. Yes. He looks familiar.
Like he was, did a Final Destination was his big one. So he was in a lot of like 90s, 2000s, and then just kind of just went, disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
Which I respected, because I was like, oh, this guy went away, had kids, did a family thing, and took all his 90s money and just living it up. And then one day, it was like maybe 5 years ago, he posted something and I commented. And then he never comments back to anyone. And he was like, Scuba effing, are you the real Scuba effing Steve? And I was like, what? Devin Sawa knows who I am? What the heck's happening right now? What world do I live in? Because I just remember him being like this kid I would see on the screen. Like, and I wanted to be him.
Yeah.
As a kid, I want to be an actor, and I want to be just like Devin Sawa.
Was he in these movies? Was he the kid or was he like a dad? Because I can't.
No, he's
tell.
A kid. No, okay. So he's a dad now. But when he was in the movies, like he was like the JTT era, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always like the guy that everyone was like the heartthrob. And then in Final Destination, he was like the main character in Final Destination. I think he's one that kept living all throughout them or whatever. But yeah, he played that. That was his character, and then just kind of disappeared and came back recently. And now he does acting, but now he's much older. He's an adult and. Different, you know, different person. But I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And then he followed me, and now him and I tweet all the time and stuff. I'm like, what the hell is happening right
still
now?
Still to this day, you guys do?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm looking at just like all his work, and wow, that is wild. Impressive. Is he still acting?
Still acting, yeah. The most recent thing he did a Bruce Willis movie, and then he did the, you know, Chucky, the doll that came out with a new TV show franchise, and he was in that for a few episodes or a season or two. So he's still doing light acting again, but I was like, wow, that's really cool. Devin Sawa, what the hell? This is crazy.
That is wild. That's a good one.
I was like, what the hell? So cool. And then on Instagram, to fit the theme of that, recently it was at the CMAs. I posted a picture in front of the guitar, not guitar, in front of the drum set of the Black Keys drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Carney, and I tagged him in it. I always tag everyone in it. And then he reposted it, and then he followed me. And then he started like looking at my stories and liking things and commenting on things about his kid and stuff or whatever. And I was like, whoa. Because I've loved the Black Keys since like 2013.
So basically you guys are BFFs now.
I guess so. But so at the $1 million show, because he's married to Michelle Branch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So at the $1 million show, he was there. And I had this moment where I was like, oh, do I say anything? Do I go up to him? Like, what do I do? And he was like standing right there. So like backstage if you're looking at the stage on the left side, we were all hanging out over there. And like where you come in from those doors, we came in from the back area. And he was by all the posters that everyone signs. And he's very, like he sticks out like a sore thumb because he's like a tall dude. Like
I know who you're talking about now just because of this description.
Very like hipster looking guy all by himself, like kind of thumbing on his phone, very like LA. And we had his other counterpart here in studio when we had Hank Williams Jr. in, Dan Auerbach. So he was the guy with the sunglasses that was playing, and Bobby was asking him, what's it like working with Hank Williams and stuff? So they have a group, and then he does his own thing on his own too. But so we met him, and when we met him, I was really nervous. I've never been nervous before to meet people except for like bands that I really like.
Yeah, you guys in like these rock bands, man. Oh, man. Like they get you.
Oh yeah. They totally get me. So then when I saw him there, I'm like, I was so nervous, and I kept toying with like going to talk to him, not talking to him. And then when I finally mustered up the courage, that was when Michelle Branch was done. And so they went in the elevator and went up, and I never saw him again.
Scuba, you guys are BFFs. chef's online.
I know, but I didn't. I was so nervous, and when I finally got the courage, it was too late, and I was like, ah.
Scuba, I'm so disappointed.
And
right
I told my wife, and she's like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" She's like, "If you follow each other on Instagram and you talk to him, and he looks at your stuff. It's like just say something to him." And I was like,
"You
I know.
Could have like even made that friendship even more of a thing because you're like, hey, I'm Scuba. We follow each other on Instagram. Like, yeah. I love your stuff."
I know, and his son plays drums, and my son plays drums, and I always talk about stuff like
that. Was a perfect moment too. He wasn't even working.
I know, and I have no real friends, so he could be my real friend here in Nashville.
Hey, I feel offended now. I resent that.
Well, not real, but I'm kidding. I meant more
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like people who have a kid, like my wife would be like, hey,
you turn bright red. Yeah. I promise it's okay. But yes, I get it. And now I'm even more disappointed for you.
I know. I was so butthurt when you got in that elevator. And then I was like, God.
You're butthurt at yourself.
Yes.
Because the only person to blame is you.
Now I'm never going to see him again because we're never going to have that moment. It'll never be there. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it was almost like the universe was telling me as he was standing there. He was like over here.
Scuba is acting out now.
He was over in the corner all by himself, just going like this, just thumbing, like looking around, almost like a gazelle in the African jungle.
Oh, great. Now
like,
he's being
like, kind of like put his butt up in the air and be like, come on, get some of this.
Oh, that's what you thought was happening. Okay.
Well, not sexual, but like in a way of like, I'm over here, come get me.
Yeah.
And he was there for me to come get him, and I didn't go get him. And now I don't know when that moment will ever happen again.
Now I would like to point out how you can see how it's really hard to meet people in person for dating, because that is what it's like. You're like
the anxiety.
They're very attractive. Yes, great. I should go up to him. Never going to happen.
Yeah.
missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's long gone.
Mm-hmm. And you just had that moment with your man.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
You could have had a whole man crush, best friend, bromance situation.
I know.
You didn't let it happen.
I didn't. That's my fault.
Dang.
It's all me. So,
yeah, I would say like, hey, it could happen again, but I just don't see the opportunity
happening.
It's probably
not going to happen again. So let's just be real here. Unless I happen to see him at the same place again next time. It's just, no, it's dead. It's dead.
Scuba. Well, you know what? You still have your moments on Instagram and you can safely say that we'll keep making you happy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find like a silver lining.
I know there is no silver lining.
Nope.
I lost out.
We're just gonna.
You know, he lost out because I'm awesome.
It's your fault. Coming in hot at the number 5 spot, Bobby shared how he got started in radio after a listener called in and kind of wanted his story. So short story version, Scuba, what's yours? Because Abby and I on a recent Best Bits, we like talked about the evolution of our careers, which was really fun. So I want to hear yours.
So mine, I mean, the iteration of it, of just getting into the radio side and skipping everything leading up to it, is my original plan was to attack from the inside. And what I mean by that was I was in a band and there was a local radio station called WJRR. And it was like the station that, like, into this day is still the powerhouse rock station. Stations have come and gone and couldn't compete against them. They literally have killed other stations across the street because it's that powerful of a radio station.
Wow.
Like, it's super powerful. Like, it just rules that market. And Orlando's a very big rock market. Country and rock also bleed. So you got that. But that's the station in Orlando besides XL, which is the pop station. So they do a weekend thing called Native Noise. And it was all about, you know, like local bands and stuff. And so my plan was to get a job in radio, to infiltrate, and then get my band's music on the radio.
Was this your screamo band where you were the lead scream singer?
Yes, yeah, the lead scream singer.
I don't know if that's how what it's called, but that's just how
it is called, like lead screamer, lead vocalist.
Okay, it actually is called the lead screamer. Yeah, yeah. I was not far off.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the plan was to take this and bring it inside and get on the radio. And so that was my whole plan. And then in that plan, it obviously turned into much more. It turned into a career. But when I went in there and I had to work a lot, like I was an intern. So I was working I wasn't even on the rock station yet. I had gotten in with the pop station, XL 106.7. So I had to get my way in, but through a way to get to the next in. And so I didn't even have a job at the rock station yet, but it was there in the cluster. You know how it is when you're working for any company or our job, everyone mingles, everyone's in the same building. It's all right there. So I was like, okay, well, at least I'm in and I'm going to just network and talk to the rock guy and figure this thing out. And my time and dedication to this, it was an internship first and then a position was I was working like 7 days a week. I was working the morning show. Then I was staying as long as I could to just do whatever I could. And then the hours and time went into this job. And then they were starting to get butthurt because I wasn't coming to band practice or we couldn't schedule any more shows because I was so busy because I was working on this. And I was like, but no, guys, this is the plan. We have to work on this. Like, I'm going to get in and I'm in now. I'm in. So just be patient. And of course, and then other things happen. And then the band ended up breaking up because I wasn't around anymore. And I was constantly doing this work thing. So what ended up being the plan to get in to play the music ended up being my way to get in to start a career.
I love this. Yep.
And so I was
this
like, okay,
is so
cool.
Scuba Steve.
Yeah. And so it worked out for me as far for me, not for the band. And I always had aspirations anyways, just in entertainment as well. So it also kind of filled buckets of wanting to always be on Nickelodeon, which was in my backyard. Nickelodeon Studios was there in Orlando, Disney. So I always wanted to be an actor. So this kind of like filled that and got me into entertainment. So I was like, okay, cool. So the band's no longer together, but now I'm fulfilling this need for the entertainment side of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, hell, F it. The band's over. I'm just going to pursue what I want. And so I just kept grinding at it. And then funny enough, I got laid off from the XL morning show. And like 3 months later, I got a phone call from the rock guy who I was networking with. And he's like, hey man, I got an opportunity coming up. Just lay low or, you know, I got something. And then sure enough, 3 months later from the layoff to then, I got hired on by the rock guy. So I'm like, if this band would have waited, I'm now on the rock side. Uh-huh. Like, I'm here now. I manifested it, I'm here, but now there's no band. And there's no music to put out.
Did you ever, even though the band was still not there, did you ever play your music?
No, we never had anything recorded. Mm. We had like these like little crappy 8-track like cassette recordings. It wasn't like a studio recording.
Got it. So you didn't have anything to play.
Nothing to play, really. But I figured that within this process, I would get in and then I'd meet people to be able to go to a recording studio, get recording time, or use the studio to record something decent to at least play on, not like the main shows like Monday through Friday, but at least the weekend Native Noise. I could at least get in there and put it on there with LT. And I was like, but they were gone. And so they lost their opportunity. But then it worked out for me because, again, like it started this career. And then when I got in with him, then we started it was a sports station. And then he had me work at the rock station. Then I ended up going back to the morning show at XL with Johnny and working with them. And then I was working like every day, all hours of the morning and night and never sleeping. But then it paid off because then I left Orlando, moved to San Francisco and did all that, and then San Francisco to LA. And
so was San Francisco. How long were you there for before you did LA and Seacrest?
So I was there for about 5-6 years. Okay. And I had moved there with no job because I quit my job in Orlando and moved with my was then fiance turned wife turned ex-wife.
Okay. Yep.
Her evolution. She was my band in that chapter.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We're kind of going away. I guess we want to kind of parallel it.
Yep. I like it. I like the parallels.
Yeah. But for me, it was a good thing because I would have never left Orlando. I'm not saying that would have been fine, but I was always getting the carrot dangled of, oh, you'll be full-time one day. And I was working part-time, but not working part-time. And I was okay with that because I knew that this is my grind and I loved it and I wanted to be there and I was okay with it. But I never was, I don't think I would have, I mean, I would eventually got it, but it would have taken forever. Cause it's a market where if you're there, it's a bunch of homers and they have been there forever and they don't want to lose a job cause it's a great gig. So they're doing whatever it takes to keep their job cause it's a great city and a great place to be on morning drive and have your own show. And you don't really lose that gig until someone retires, gets fired or dies. Yep. So I had to have that, you know, that come to Jesus of, well, it's never going to come or it's going to be a long time. So I'm going to go to San Francisco with my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And I knew nothing about San Francisco. All I knew was the song California Girls, Katy Perry, I think was a song 2008-9 or whatever. I knew the 49ers and that was it. I didn't even realize Oakland was across the bay. Like that was that close. I knew nothing geographically about San Francisco. Packed up the U-Haul, drove across the country with her and two dogs, went to San Francisco with no job. I sent a few emails before I left the company to like the PDs and stuff like, hey, I'm coming to your area. Here's my personal email if you want to meet. Cool. And they all ended up responding, which is cool. So then when I got to SF with no job, I met the PD of Wild 94.9, who was like the top 40 station. And then I met the operations manager of the whole cluster and I met a couple other people. And then that was another thing where it was like 3 months later that the meetings turned into, hey, I've actually got an opening with Ryan Seacrest, like the affiliate thing here. And it's nothing that, not a morning show, not what you're wanting or what you're used to or what you came from, but it's, you know, an in. And I was like, I'm all about ins because my in last time turned into more. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll locally edit the Seacrest crap and put it on the air and do whatever you need. Literally, I would clean the boards. I'd do whatever the hell he needed to prove myself to him. And then that then was, there was an opening. There was an opening on his morning show on the Hot AC station, which is Star 101.3, with a guy named Don Blue, who's legendary to the Bay. Like one of those guys who had been there since the 70s. Mm. And so he was like the staple of the Bay Area. So then I got to work with him in his final two and a half years. I worked with him for about a year and change of that, and kind of like re-energized him and had fun with him and got to learn a lot. Like, this guy is full of knowledge, mm-hmm. and in a massive market like that. And so I learned a lot from him and got put under his wing. And then I positioned, and then I got, and I was like, I was looking for something younger because I was in my 20s, and I was like, I want like a fun, outgoing show. And that's when I met JV and Rico and that whole group at Wild. And then I got that job as their executive producer, and we started syndicating the show and doing all this stuff. So it was always like getting somewhere. I guess my whole point is, for anyone listening to this, is taking that opportunity, whether it be super small and insignificant, it's all about getting in. Mm-hmm. And once you're in, the hardest thing in the world is to get into a company and get into a business that you're wanting to get in. But once you're in, you're in. You've now made it, you're in, and now it's all about navigating yourself within that company and networking and meeting the right people and busting your ass and proving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the entertainment industry.
Oh, especially in the entertainment industry. It's all, people are like, oh, I just want to get on TikTok and blow up and become famous. F that. And if that does happen to you, congratulations, you got lucky. But it really takes a lot of grinding and hard work to make something in this industry. And in my opinion, make something that's credible and I'm trying to find the right words. Not trying to put down any TikTok superstars, but
there's a lot of grinding that's gone into your career.
A lot of grinding. Mm-hmm. I didn't wake up one morning and shoot a video of me in bed and it went viral and someone, mm-hmm. someone heard. Whatever. It's a podcast and someone duoed it and you became famous. F you. I grinded my ass off for years and years and made no effing money. Mm. Oh, hi, Remy.
Yeah, wait, my pain. I told y'all it was chaos today. Yeah, Remy's also in the studio with us. Yeah,
and I'm trying to hold my emotions back when we start talking about San Francisco and all that crap. But so I kept moving up and moving up, and then learning a lot from some of the most, instrumental people in the industry, especially on the West Coast. So it was really cool for me to learn from all these people, especially thinking back that my whole point was just to come into this business and get my music on the radio. Mm-hmm. And here I am doing all these things and meeting all these really cool people and working with these amazing people. And then in that process of going on the JV show, he gave me the courage because my wife was doing all these crazy things, mostly probably for content because he got great content out of it. But encouraging me to leave her and be single and date and enjoy a city like San Francisco and the melting pot of the people that live there and so many different cultures. And it was a good experience. And then he then connected me with my now wife and that whole thing. And
so then after San Francisco,
after San Francisco,
you went to Seacrest.
Yeah, I went to Seacrest and I left JV, which is a really hard thing because he was kind of like a big brother and a father figure at that part of my life. So I left him and he was really mad about that because he thought I left him for Seacrest, but I didn't leave him for Seacrest. I did another one of those moves where I always wanted to be in LA as a kid. The LA was my thing. I've always wanted to be in LA, going back to when I was talking about how I wanted to be on Nickelodeon and Disney. Mm-hmm. LA was always something I always wanted. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in San Francisco, I was like, oh my God, I'm so close to LA now. And I think I reached this feeling after being on a show for a few years of like, this is cool, but man, I'm still missing. Like, I've done so much in radio now. I've done a lot of cool things. I want to tackle the LA side of this. So then there wasn't any openings. I tried applying for jobs within the company to move down to LA and transfer. I applied for Valentine's morning show on MyFM a couple times and didn't take me. And that's another fun story because then I ended up meeting him and working with him a lot in LA. And he was always like, damn, I should have hired you.
Hey, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, bro. So like all these really fun stories about how all my life parallels. And I end up meeting people in the industry that I never thought I'd meet and work with, and people that had passed up on me that I ended up working with and gaining their respect. So it was like a really cool career that I've had here in radio. And then, I went to LA with no money and with my then new fiance who then became, I always feel like whenever I moved, there was a transition personally and professionally. And we had just gotten engaged and I moved to LA without her.
Yeah. You couldn't just, you know, do a move and that be a big thing. You had to go all out.
I had to go balls to the wall. And she was staying in San Francisco because that was where she's from. She's like, I'm not leaving my family. I'm not going to LA with you. Yes, we're engaged, but I'm not going with you until you've got something solidified. Cause I had moved there with no job. Mm. And then I got the Dr. Phil job. Cause I was like, well, I'm going to leave radio, F radio. Which was tough because like I put so much into radio. I put 10 plus years into this, worked really hard at it. But I was like, but I really want to try this entertainment thing. And I got to drive my Honda Civic on the Paramount lot and see all these cool things and work with Dr. Phil and all those people. I did that for about 6 months. And then I got the phone call from Dennis Clark, who was a guy I worked with in San Francisco consulting with shows. And he would consult our show. And he's like, hey, man, he goes, I hear you're in LA. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I got a job with Ryan Seacrest. He goes, hold tight. He goes, but just, I'm going to gauge your interest. Would you want to work with Ryan? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, dude, like 5 years ago, I used to put together the affiliate show. Like I never thought that I would ever be able to. And then I used to watch American Idol in the early 2000s. Like, well, yes, I'll entertain the offer. Like, what the hell is this? And he's like, all right, hold tight. He goes, you good? You got money? You're working? I'm like, yeah, I'm working with Dr. Phil. He goes, okay, you're fine. You're good. You just give me a beat. And then so like a week later, he's like, okay, I want you to meet this woman, Claudine. She's the head of the operations. And I'm like, oh my God. So I go through this whole interview process. And then I meet the guy whose job I was taking because he was leaving to go take Valentine's job, the guy that I had applied for a few months before this. And I'm like, well, this is like so serendipitous. Uh-huh. And then I meet him and it was a guy, his name's Brian Burton. I used to get his affiliate emails in San Francisco like 5 years ago. And I'm like, this whole thing, I'm like, oh my God, I get to meet you, Brian. I'm like, I used to get your emails.
So many full circle moments.
And anyone who's listening to this, who is an affiliate of mine on the Seacrest end and now Bobby Bones show side, like whenever I meet them, I geek out meeting them because they're an affiliate, because I used to geek out meeting these, and it's just like a whole world full circle moment. And then I left Dr. Phil, quit the show, which is also very tough because I was willing to let go and start working towards this path of LA. And then right when I was there, within a month, they were like, because they knew who I was and where I come from. They're like, you're willing to take this bottom rung, low level, nobody producer. And I was like, yeah, because I want to learn from the bottom and work my way up. And within a month, they had already, hey. and within a month, hi, Remy. And within a month, they had, I'm allergic to dogs, by the way.
No, I'm not. Just kidding, no. Remy's literally like ready to cuddle up next to Scuba right
on
now.
On the couch, chilling. Yep. Mm-hmm. But what was I saying? Crap. Oh, yeah. So within a month, I was already applying for an associate producer, which is like three positions up from where I had started. And they were wanting me to be a talent booker and find the people that would come on the show. Like I was 1 month away from meeting Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Oh,
like I was 1 month out.
Such a big moment.
It was huge. So I was literally 1 month away when I left the show, and then 1 month later, Catch Me Outside was filming. And I'm like, and I remember my friends were texting me who worked there. So they, one of them picked her up from the airport or wherever she was coming from. Like this girl's crazy. And then, and then sure enough, she was crazy. And oh so, yeah, Dr. Phil and to Ryan Seacrest. And then with Seacrest, I got that point where I was like, well, I want more. And I wanted more within the show. And it wasn't available because somebody was in that role. And I was like, I respect that, but I want more. And then, again, it was another Dennis Clark moment where he called me. He's like, New York or Nashville? And I'm like, either one's fine. And then he's like, all right, cool, hold tight. Another hold tight scenario.
Of course. Lots of hold tights.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, now I'm moving to Nashville with who is now my wife. And that was my wife at the time, too. And my forever wife. And this is my soulmate. And we ain't going nowhere. Got kids together and everything. That's my
kids,
ride or die.
Babies and dogs, the whole thing.
The whole thing. And then so never been to Nashville except for that quick interview process. I was literally here in 24 hours in and out. So I'd never really been here. And then we drove across the country not knowing anything about Nashville, not having a house, having nothing. Same experience, like when I did from Orlando to San Francisco, but this time much more on the positive side, moving with a job versus having to quit a job and hopefully getting a job. And I was like, wow, like 15, 20 years later, I'm now moving with a job. I'm moving with my soulmate. We have a kid. Holy crap, like this is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And like back to the other side of the country where you had originally started.
Exactly, basically. Yeah, not coming back towards the East Coast, closer to my side of the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, it's been a really, really wild journey of this whole radio thing of like always like trying to leave it and then it always roping me back in.
Oh my gosh.
And with the same company. I never left the company. I mean, I left the company, but never really left the company. Mm-hmm. I've been with, since it was Clear Channel, I've been with it back when John Hogan was
president. Hey, me too.
Yeah, we're OGs.
We are OGs, but I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of years, Scuba.
Oh, yeah, like the early 2000s I've been with this company. Like I've been around for a minute.
Mm-hmm. But hey, it's really cool to hear your story and see just the process of how that's all happened and the ebbs and flows, because it's really easy to see things online and look at an outsider perspective. It's really funny because often online, people are like, I'll share. I'm like, I got the Sunday scaries, or I'm like, dang, I don't want to work. And they're like, you have the perfect job. It's amazing. Like, I'm human. Like, of course. The end of the day, it's amazing. What we get to do is incredible. And I've worked really hard to get here, much like you.
Yeah.
But we're still human. It's still a job. And it's still like, yes, everybody would love to not work at the end of the day.
Oh, hell yeah, of course. Oh, my God. If I had the financial freedom, I'd stay home right now. I'd be in Hawaii right now, actually.
Yes.
Like, I'd be in Hawaii with my family chilling on the beach.
It cracks me up. I'm like, guys, it is, especially to get here and especially all the things that we go through on a daily basis. Like, it's amazing. It's incredible. And that is not lost on any of us. But it's a journey, and it's been a journey, and it will continue to be one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure the story you talked about and then my story, that's it in a nutshell. That's like a 3-minute version of what we could sit here and talk about it, all the layers, for probably 5 hours, maybe multiple days of all this. Oh, God dang it. I keep cussing.
It's all right. I got another beep note. 2 beep notes.
And for Lent, I try to give up cussing, but it has not worked out.
Yeah, this is not going well for you, but it's okay. Well.
I guess to your point, it's been a journey. It's been a lot. And I also think in any job, though, you're always trying to want and strive and do more. Mm-hmm. And I think in our industry, we are always wanting more and more and more and do more and get more and try to always, there's always that chasing of that dangling of the carrot of like, I just want. So even in me now, I've been here for almost, I think it's 4 years. And I'm like, now I'm like, not saying what's next, but I'm like, what else do I want to do in my career? Because I've achieved so much in all these different facets. And I'm like, now what do I want to do? I'm like, do I want to go back to LA? And I know this is whatever, this is not whatever. I'm being very transparent.
Hey, I like transparency.
I'm being very transparent, and I'm allowed to, because, you know, this is my life. And we've talked about that with my wife, because she's from California, and it's really tough, especially now having 3 kids. Mm-hmm. It's very tough not being near family. Like, yeah, they can fly in, but when you live in the same vicinity as your family, it really takes a village, especially with 3 effing kids. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be around her mom and her family. My family is great too, but they're taking care of my grandma in a different space where she's got freaking 10 aunts.
Yeah, she's got a village.
She's got a legitimate, the Bay Area, there's probably 150 people in her family that live in the Bay Area that I could call and text any one of them, and they'd be like, yeah, I'll watch your kids for a minute if you need to go do something or take care of something or whatever. Whereas here, it's a little difficult. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple people, and it's tough because they've all got their, and they're not family. So I feel tough. I feel weird being like, hey, and they're like, they will do it, but it's not the same as immediate family helping out. So we're in that space.
It's a different kind of situation.
Different kind of situation. And then me on the career side, I'm hungry and I want more and I want to do other things. And I've learned so much in my career that I'm like, I kind of want to take a lot of the talents, like LeBron. I want to take my talents to South Beach. I kind of want to take my talents, not to South Beach, but in that figurative way, I want to take it and do something of my own. Mm-hmm. I've learned from the biggest and the best that has, and I'm not trying to sound cocky, but like I have, like I've been around, like Ryan Seacrest, I learned from some people, and then in my SF journey, and even Bobby, I've learned from a lot of great people that are at the top in their careers. And I don't know what it looks like for me, but I just know that I've learned a lot behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, what to do, what not to do. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting and terrifying at the same time.
Oh, I throw up at the side of any time there's a new transition. Mm-hmm. But anytime I do that, it's really scary, but it's always ends up being just fine. And I guess that's my whole point to tell anyone about this, is that the words of Steve Harvey, and I remember him saying this. It was like
he always has great words of wisdom.
Oh my God, he does. And I've seen him do a couple of shows when I was living in LA, where in between like takes, he does this thing where he comes out and talks to the audience, and it's so powerful. And one that he did that always will stick with me, and I remember hearing it like 10, 15 years ago, he was telling this whole story about having to jump. And he's like, and if you don't, and he basically was like, yeah, he goes, if you don't, he goes, I'm talking about how like, how did someone like, for example, Bobby or Ryan, he's like, you know, they didn't just get up. It took time. And he goes, the key is people like that, he goes, we jump. And he's like, if you don't jump, you're never going to know the what could have been, or the what, who's and what's, or you're, there's always that, like, well, what would have happened if I would have taken the chance? Like, going back to me saying hi to Patrick from the Black Keys, like, it's a smaller version, but like, what would have happened if I did, would have gone up to him and said hello? I didn't jump, but it could have spawned into something, or it could have been nothing. But if you don't jump, you will never know. And he's like, oh, he goes, you're going to jump. And he goes, if you, when you jump off the cliff, you're going to fall. It's going to hurt like hell. There's going to be moments where you're going to get cuts and scrapes and bruises, which is like our coming up in this industry and working hard and not getting paid money and we're not getting paid enough. He goes, there's going to be scrapes and bruises and it's going to hurt like hell. He's like, but you at least jumped. And if you fail, you at least jumped and you tried and you get back up and you do something else. But then he goes, but then there's that time you jump and then you're going to get get back up and then you're going to be like, holy crap. And then you're there. And you jumped and you made it. And here you are. I'm not doing justice of how he said it because he had this beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like
But it's still empowering. It's still inspiring.
Yes. That's like the cliff notes of it. And so I've jumped every time because of that. Every time I've left the city, I've jumped and it's hurt, but then it's always worked out. Mm-hmm. So that's my whole point to anyone listening. If you're in a rut, whether it be a relationship or a friendship or a career or anything, you just got to jump. Mm-hmm. It's going to suck. It's going to hurt. And it's hard to jump, but you got to do it because otherwise you'll be living your whole life going, what if? And living your life going, what if? Is way worse than hurting yourself through the process of trying to figure it out.
No, you're so right. I feel like you're speaking to me because you are. That feels very personal. Rude.
I wasn't talking to you indirectly.
I know, but if it was inspiring.
Yes, but that's the words of another wise Steve. More wiser than me, Steve Harvey.
Mr. Steve Harvey. Yes, yeah. I love him. Yeah, well, awesome. Thank you for sharing that story. It was it was really cool to hear all the things of where you came from and where it began.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, always. We still got more to talk about too, because we're not the number four spot, and just for
only
that,
number four.
Yeah,
we got to speed through this.
Hey, listen, you had a story to tell, and I was listening.
I know.
I wanted it. Always. I wanted the story.
I know.
But we did have an employee of the month chosen for February, and that happened this week. So I don't want to give any spoilers here.
Yes.
But I have a question for you.
Yeah. What's up?
Do you think, and you may even have a more personal, because this could connect to you and something that you made dealt with while you were dating.
Yeah.
But do you think hatfishing, do you know what hatfishing is?
Well, yeah, guys like me who don't have hair and they wear a hat and then
they just always wear a hat.
They always wear a hat. And the moment you see without the hat, they're like, oh, either it could be good. Like, oh, I didn't know that, but that's fine. Or, oh my God, you should put the hat back on.
Yes.
Even in bed, in the shower, at the swimming pool.
Yep.
Keep the hat on always.
Or they choose to. Like, choosing to always wear
and
it.
They should always wear it. It's probably. Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Is the same as women wearing makeup?
Yes.
You do. I'm so curious, and let me tell you why. Because I had posted something, and for me, I don't think there's anything wrong with a guy that's bald. I think it's fine. But the hat fishing is a problem for me because it shows lack of confidence, and it shows insecurities, and it shows some sides that maybe somebody isn't quite ready to be their, you know, fullest version of themselves. And so I had stated that hat fishing is something that I pay attention to on dating apps. I'm like, if this is a sign of that, because, and let me tell you why. I've dated guys who have slept with their hats in bed.
Are you serious?
And I'm like, sir, that's not going to work long term. Like, I have seen the insecurities that come with hat fishing on three different occasions.
In beds? I was kidding about, like, showering with it.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. This is a real thing.
Okay.
Like, genuine, like, refusing to take off the hat.
Okay. Wow.
And I think it's not the fact of them being bald. It's the fact of there's something associated with that.
The insecurity of it or them being worried about.
Instead of just like owning it and being like, this is who I am. This is awesome.
I've owned my bald head. I don't give a crap.
Yes.
I just shaved it and moved on.
And this is why I'm asking you, because I'm sure you probably had that moment. We've all had those insecurity moments. But when you're at 30 years old, okay, my guy, something's got to give.
Oh, dude, when I was like 21, I had to give up my hairline because I was like, this is my mohawk went from here to here to here to almost to the back of my head. I'm like, well, it's time to shave my head. And even when I shaved my head, you could still see the lines of it like fading back. And then I was like, well, now it's time to like really full on shave it. And I didn't get the courage to shave it until I met my now wife. And she was, when we were early on dating, she's very honest, which I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was tough, again, like going to jump. It was always, sometimes you're like, I don't want to hear that. But then you're like, all right, well, I was already thinking that myself. It's nice to hear it from you. And I appreciate your honesty. And you gave me feedback and how to fix it. And she was like, I'll just start shaving your head for you. And she would shave it. And she's like, see, you look so much better now. You actually look younger. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, all right, shave my head's not so bad.
So she opened that up for you. And see, I love that.
The honesty is tough, but it's key sometimes.
Yes. And this was me being very honest, but a guy came up and he was hit to the heart. Oh my God.
Okay, my guy. You hit him.
And he was like, it's the same as wearing makeup. I was like, maybe for some women, I would agree.
Because some throw it on hard.
And they might sleep with it. Like, there are some women I know who will sleep with it. They don't want to take it off.
Yeah.
But for me, like, me stating that is me saying, no, I'm going to show up. You're probably by the second or third date going to see me without my makeup. I'm sitting here right now with you without makeup on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just like, I'm owning who I am. Yes. I'm at that point in my life.
Which is great. I love it.
And if you're in your early 20s, I think this is okay. But for someone as a 29, almost 30 and on a dating app, that's me seeing, okay, you're not at the same point that I'm at.
Yes. But then also, this is very superficial, and I'll just say it.
Hey, say it.
Yeah. So I also have learned through my wife that all that makeup, it's also really bad for your skin. And so a lot of times, I know people will hide it to hide blemishes or pimples or whatever, but a lot of times that makeup, you're hiding it, is causing more problems to your pores and your skin, which is making it worse and worse and worse, which then almost puts you in a cycle of having to constantly always put on makeup because you're insecure about your skin. But if you would just take a break for a little bit, your skin will go back to somewhat normal, and then you won't need as much makeup anymore. You can just do light touch-ups. And again, I'm speaking from a guy's perspective or what I've heard from my wife, so please don't shoot me. But like, that's what I've heard and what I've seen. Like, my wife, bless, she's absolutely gorgeous. I think she's so much prettier without makeup than when she is with makeup. But she's even got to the point now where I've told her, I'm like, you don't need to put on a whole lot. And she's never really been a whole lot of makeup person anyways, more only for just like really big occasions, like a wedding or something huge. But I'm like, just put it on. Because like, similar to her to me telling me to shave my head, I was like, babe, I'm like, you're effing gorgeous without makeup. So if you do want to put some on, maybe just put on a little bit and just like highlight what you want to highlight, like your eyes or your eyebrows or whatever. And when she's really beautiful without it. And then when she does highlight just the minimal amounts, I'm like, oh my God, she accentuates certain pieces. I'm like, whoa, you're already beautiful. Not, oh my God. Wow. And then her skin's so nice now because she's constantly cleaning it, not having to put all the makeup on and not caring about it and not putting as much on as she used to before and all that crap and not caring about what her workplace at the time cared about. Presentation or look. She's like, I'm beautiful without it. I don't need to cake it on. Mm-hmm. And it helped improve her skin as well too. And she's always had nice skin, but I've seen it even with my sister and other people. Less makeup is so much better for your skin. And I also feel like a lot of women are really beautiful, and most women are really beautiful without the makeup. And that's just how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the makeup again is nice. It's fine. You can do it to make yourself. It's like, but I put on a nice shirt or I dress up nice. I see how it can make you feel like, oh, I feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But I also want women to know that 90% of the time you don't got to cake it on. Just be yourself.
Yep.
And if guys don't like you for yourself, then that's not the guy you should be with. F that guy.
Because
he's got his own insecurities that he's putting out on you for your makeup or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, any guy that's like, you need to be in high heels and wearing lingerie and wearing makeup, leave that guy yesterday. He sucks. Because if he can't love you for the way that you look naturally and who you are as who you are, and you have to wear makeup all the time because of him, or you feel like you have to because of him or whatever, ugh.
Yeah. You definitely want to be able to own and be exactly who you are in all assets.
Yes.
Like I love the aspect of makeup for me is I love getting dressed up. I love like giving myself like a day where I'm like, ooh, yeah, I feel really good.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I also love going to the gym without makeup and like just getting in a good sweat in and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like I love both of those sides of me. But I also know like, and that just all goes back to the same point. I don't think in your 26 to 40s, hat fishing and wearing makeup are the same thing. In your early 20s, I do. I do believe that because I think that same thing is happening for men and women.
Yes.
But I think women, as they get older, are like, I don't care. You're learning to embrace. You're starting to go against societal standards. And you're starting to understand things. And so they're also expecting men to be doing the same thing,
and
right?
They're not. A lot of them are not.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, at almost 30 years old, hat fishing. Not the same as makeup.
Yeah, I see it in that perspective, yeah. Uh-huh. And I also look at it, I was like, wow, women are way stronger than men, which they usually always are anyways, emotionally and physically and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for me, I definitely got on it sooner, but it was through the help of a woman to tell me not to do it. Yep. I didn't do it on my own.
Yep.
I would have still probably kept wearing hats and kept trying to figure out my whole stupid hairline.
Yeah.
So it proves your point. They aren't the same because of that. And it's funny when you bring it up, it took a woman to help me realize... So it really proves the point that women are stronger and get it. And and yes, 100%.
Yes. And listen, if I was in my early 20s and that was the situation, I'd be like, yeah, okay, we'll figure it out.
Yes.
But not at this point. I'm, you know, I can't fix anybody. If there is one lesson I have learned.
You cannot.
In all of my relationships.
Especially at this age range.
Yes, you cannot. And one of the biggest things that you cannot fix or help anybody with is their own insecurities. That is all on them.
You can try to, and you can try to make them feel comfortable, which will then gain them the confidence. But you can't be like flipping a switch and then think it's just going to go away, because it ain't.
Yes. And people like, and it's funny because it goes so much deeper and people are like, well, that means they can't have insecurities. I'm like, no, everybody's going to.
You're allowed to. It's human nature. Yeah.
But at this point in your life, there are things that should have happened by now if we're on the same page.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's cool that we're not.
Yeah.
Then you're just not my person.
Exactly.
And that's like the lessons that I've learned. But man, this guy like took that so hard to heart. And he was like, that is the same thing. And I was like, this is a much bigger discussion than me responding to a comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was hit in the heart. He's like, this one hurts.
Dude, it's funny. Have you ever watched 90 Day Fiancé? I think we've talked about it before.
We've talked about it. I've never watched it.
Oh my God. There's thinking about the hat thing. There was a guy who was on one of the most recent ones. I forget what it was called, because they have so many different freaking versions of it now. And it was a guy who wouldn't take his hat off. And he had a bald head. And there was like scenes of him in bed. And his was so bad that he grew the hair on the back of his head and then would shave the rest. So when he put his hat on, it would look like he had hair, but you knew from behind it looked like he had hair. But from the front, you know you don't have any hair.
Oh, that is
it
like
so stupid.
A hat fishing.
Oh, it was like the worst hat fishing. And he found this like beautiful woman from Colombia.
See?
Who was like super hot and he was super not. And I wish I could find it. 90 Day Fiancé guy with hat.
They get you, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this happened to me. I dated a guy.
This guy. And then you could tell from the front that he's bald, but then the back of his head, he had hair growing. And there was an episode when they got in a huge fight and she like took his hat and wouldn't give it back to him. And that's when I saw that he was bald, except for like that patch in the back of the head. And I'm like, what a dweeb. What an idiot. And he didn't look too bad without his hat anyway. He's like, it's like, just take the hat off. And he had like, they would go on vacations and he'd be like, I need this one. This is my sleeping hat. This is my hat for dinner. This is my hat for the pool.
Why is there a sleeping hat?
I was like, all right, suspect homeboy. We'll unpack this later, but take your hat off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like
hilarious.
Listen, this is my last comment and I will stay with this and I'll move forward.
Okay.
But confidence is so much sexier than you hat fishing me.
Yes. All day, every day.
Own your stuff, my guy.
All day. Oh, this is funny. I was looking up the 90 Day Fiancé and Tarek. You know, Tarek
he has a new show.
He has a new show with a new girl who looks just like his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Tell me that ain't weird.
He has a type.
He has a type that looks just like his ex-wife. This woman looks just like his ex-wife with a little less plastic surgery.
He does have a type.
He does.
It's the same show, just with his new wife. It's definitely interesting.
Hilarious. El Musa, the flipping El Musas.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a dick. Okay, anyway.
Well, we're going to move into... Hey, you know what? You started off on this guy's side, and then I got you to mine.
Yeah.
I told you.
Hey, that's how a conversation happens, and you persuaded me.
I got you. I had a strong argument. That's why I didn't want... You know, I didn't have 20 characters. I needed, like, a full argument.
But that's why I love a conversation, because you have two sides and then you can either keep your side, which is still respectful. You can have your opinion. Sometimes a side can persuade you and you persuaded me.
Hey, see?
If only our government worked that way, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll stop there.
This is a story for another day, Scuba.
Communication and compromise. Wow, what an amazing thing.
Honest conversation.
Honest conversation. That's so cool. And a conversation, it wasn't like I made fun of you or called you names or made thing and then went on Twitter. And anyways, I'll just do that.
See, we did it. We did it. High five. You can hear the high five. Woo! We did it.
All right, cool. If I hit your hand too hard, I apologize.
No, it was great. We needed this to hear it in the microphones. Lunchbox auditioned for another job that happened on the show this week, and we got to hear the audio from it. Of course, he didn't get the job, but we did hear the audio, and it was pretty solid. Kind of surprised he didn't get the job, honestly.
Yeah,
pretty solid. But what is... Scuba, this is not really at all
solid.
Related.
It was hella solid.
It was. You helped
made
him.
It. Yeah.
I know dang gonna well if he tried to make that. That would have been a disaster.
Awful. I've heard the audio he did before I came to this show, and Oh my God. Okay. Anyways, good audio, but really bad, like putting it together.
Well, you should have seen him. Bless his heart. There, you know, in our studio now, there's like a little corner office with a whole bunch of computers. And every morning I'd come in, he'd be sitting in there editing his audio. And it was hilarious. He'd be in there until like we started to go live. Like
it would take him hours. And that, like that thing I did with the baseball thing. I mean, not even exaggerating. It took me 5, maybe 6 minutes to do it. And then Bobby, he wanted that the week of good decision. Like that wasn't much either. I just took his thing, changed it, added different elements to it. That also was done. I thought he wanted it because when he said he wanted it, we were playing a song. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, we need it for this next live break. So I pumped it in 3 minutes and gave it to Ray. He loaded it. And like those things take not long for me to do. But it's funny to hear because Lunchbox was like, I spent 3 hours to put that together. I'm like, oh my God, dude, I literally flicked my wrist and it was done.
Yeah, when it comes to technology, you know how like people can hone their skills and start to learn and evolve? When it comes to technology with Lunchbox, it's never evolved.
I met him, iHeartRadio Music Festival, Las Vegas, September 2019. I was introduced to him. This is like when I was about to get the job and everything. And I met him and he was like, hey, this is Lunchbox, this is Steve. And I was like, hey, nice to meet you. He's like, all right, man. He was, and they're like, I was like, hey, if you ever need anything up between now and then, he's like, actually, you put email on my phone? And I was like laughing, like, haha, like you're kidding, right? This is 2019. And he's like, you're kidding. He's like, no, seriously, I don't have email on my phone. And Amy was like, yeah, he doesn't have email on his phone. I was like, I can do that for you right now. He's like, well, not right now, but later. And guess what? Here we are 4 years later and still doesn't have email on his phone. And then when he forgot his laptop at work yesterday, I was emailing him things and I was like, well, just pull it up on your phone. Oh, you still have email on your phone?
Uh-huh.
You literally have to like go to your computer and dial up on America Online to check your email.
No, this man is in the ice ages.
What?
Uh-huh.
Anyways, we'll stop there with that.
That's Lunchbox.
That's Lunchbox in a nutshell, yeah. Yep.
What's an obsession that you don't understand? And do you need to think about it?
You got
something?
Yeah, I mean, I have one. I think we talked about it once before. I don't remember where, but I never understood Friends, the TV show.
Okay.
Never was a fan of it. Never really cared about it. And then when the whole reboot thing happened and everyone was all like, woo, Friends. I was like, woo, I don't care. Don't care.
Isn't that funny how people latch on to like just different things? Because there's probably a show you really love.
People wouldn't care about it all.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how those like just certain ones connect with different people?
But this is like a big, like things I care about. People were like, I don't even know what that is.
But Friends is a massive one.
Oh my God. It's huge.
And it is a really good show.
Yeah, sure. It's great. So cheesy. So terrible.
Mine's also awful. A show and it's newer. It's not the Friends, but people are obsessed with Outer Banks.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen it yet. So I can't speak to it.
I watched the first season when it came out originally. I was like, this is pretty good. It's just like a modern day Goonies, honestly, is what it reminds me of.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't like thrilled with Goonies. So watching it, I was like, meh.
So for you, me.
Yeah. Me. So I tried to get into it again because they just came out with a third season. But when I went to try and watch the third season, I realized that I had stopped on the second season, episode one, halfway through and literally deleted it from my watching because I was like, I'm not going to watch this.
It's dumb. Yeah.
So I don't get it. And people are like hype over the show.
On it. Oh my God. Yeah.
And I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it enough to. I mean, I don't even care enough to even get to it. Especially because I was just seeing the premise and whatever, and I was like, man, I'm past that in my life to watch something like that.
So, what is something that you like or that you've watched recently, and you're like, this is good?
So I have never seen it before until recently. My son really got into Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
And so we watched Wreck-It Ralph, and then Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool concept, like everything from, if you've seen it, you get it. If you haven't seen it, like just from like the video game perspective and then the plug going into the wall and then living in that, what do you call it? The surge protector where all the outlets plug in. And when they, like the whole concept of it is so cool and so mind blowing and so fun that I was like, wow, this is a really, it's also, I feel like underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like Disney doesn't give it any love anywhere in the parks or talk about it but it was such a cool, unique, fantastic series. I want a third one.
I know, because that's like one of those two where both one and two are really good.
Very good. And big, huge voice actors. You had John C. Reilly playing Wreck-It Ralph, and you had Sarah Silverman playing that little glitch girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really cool cast, and what a really cool franchise that kind of just stopped. Well, almost like Baymax, Big Hero 6 and all that kind of just stopped.
Oh, yeah. I never got into those ones, but I did get into Wreck-It Ralph. I loved Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay. Yeah. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. This is funny. I was having this conversation with Lunchbox because and maybe because of you, his kids just watched Wreck-It Ralph for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you suggested it to him, but they literally just watched it for the first time like 2 days ago.
I think Disney like when they're trying to like, I feel like when they're trying to gauge interest or see how it is and see if they're gonna do another one, they start populating it on their main page. Cause I feel like Wreck-It Ralph was a suggestion. It wasn't like my son didn't know how to look it up.
Yeah.
I think it just was there and he clicked on it cause it's a video game. He thinks video games are cool. So I think maybe Disney is trying to test to see if people are gravitating towards it. And if they like it, he's now watched Wreck-It Ralph probably 17 times and the second one 20 times. So they're getting the data from my household that we want a third one.
We're ready
and
for
we want a ride. Open a ride.
It's kind of like an animated version of Ready Player One. Have you watched that movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What an awesome movie.
Amazing. They're coming out with a second one for that.
Oh,
and I think it's this year.
Oh, cool.
I've been waiting.
That is my
favorite movie of all time.
I'd put it in my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's definitely an awesome, cool, fun concept. Really, and it could, not saying it could be, but it seems like it could be a reality for us 1,000 years from now kind of thing.
Yep. It literally, if I'm picturing, and you and I have both liked all three of these.
Yeah.
We've got Wreck-It Ralph, Ready Player One, and Upload.
Yeah. Oh, Upload. Yeah.
They're
all
in that same capacity.
Yes.
Different versions, different plots, different realities. But
same kind of thing.
Yep. Same vibe.
Okay.
This makes sense now. Now we found our genre.
That's my genre. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
So
okay.
Fun.
But what I was talking about with Lunchbox was, I don't think, and the kid that you're watching it with, how old is he?
He turns 5, like, in a couple weeks.
I don't think until kids are about 8 or 9 do they quite understand the plot. They latch on to characters.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And they love characters. But, like, as far as what's happening, how the storyline?
Yeah.
That's my theory. I don't know if it's correct. It's more of just, like, a theory. I'm not stuck to it. But what do you think? Do you think your kid is like, I get this. I know what's happening.
So I think it's, in general, I think most kids just, because, like, even like us as a kid, where we'd watch stuff and just go right over our heads. We don't get the emotional scenes or whatever. But my son, which is really weird, he's connected to all emotion. Like, my son and then even my daughter, who's 2, when there's, like, a love, like, not a love scene, but, like, when someone, like, entangled, when what's her name? The girl with the long hair, Rapunzel.
Yes.
Rapunzel, and she has like that falling for Finn, the guy. Like there'll be a part where, or even in Tarzan, when Tarzan meets Jane. I remember I watched her and she was watching it and like they were doing the you could tell there's like starting to flirt. My daughter would like cover her eyes and watch it like this with a smile and like nervous for a love scene. I'm like, what?
Like, how do you even know that's happening?
And then my son would get sad, like when, and going back to Wreck-It Ralph, when her car got smashed by all those girls, he was like, why are those girls, that's so mean, why are they doing that? And he would get really sad. And then, like, I was like, oh my God, like, I didn't even like think about those things as a kid. I don't know if it's because of the way we're raising them or just how the world is evolving and changing. Now if people are thinking about things, but my kids are like, they gravitate towards the emotional side of film and television shows of when it's sad or happy or whatever. And I just watch them going like, whoa, I just would watch this and go, Wreck-It Ralph, this is cool, race cars.
Yeah.
But he's like actually getting sad and feeling for them and for their emotions and feelings. I'm like, who the hell? You're not even 5 yet. What the hell?
Dang.
So they are.
Okay.
And not saying all kids are, but my kids for some reason are very connected to emotions.
Well, and my only like connection, because I obviously don't have kids, it's just more I was thinking back to being a kid and I was like, maybe when I was 9 or 10 did I really start to like connect and love shows and like have an idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if that was still the case. It's super interesting.
Yeah. I was like, I was interested by it. I'm like, wow, you actually like, you're feeling this? Like you should just watch and just laugh and move
you're
on.
Emotionally connected
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. Okay, cool, dude.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not everyone, but they are definitely emotionally attached to things. And I was like, okay.
Cool. Well, hey, and if you have kids, please let me know. I'm just so curious about this of just like the evolution of like, if it's still the same, if it's different. And to your point, maybe we just, because we're evolving, that's also evolving too.
Which is great. We should be evolving as a human race. So I'm good with that.
Yeah. Wild. Well, I am stoked. Can I share my excitement with you?
No, I'm good.
Can you take it back? Because the first episode of the new season of The Mandalorian came out and I am so happy.
I saw Anthony Mackie posting something about it. Like he wanted to be a part of Mandalorian or whatever.
Oh, I do love Anthony Mackie.
Yeah. So he's not part of that, I imagine.
No, he's not.
Okay, gotcha.
The Star Wars universe, man. And like, if there are two things I love, it's Marvel and Star Wars. Like,
oh, yeah, you do. You love.
And Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm an old school Harry Potter girl.
I love Harry Potter too. Yeah.
That's from back in the day. But the Mandalorian is just so freaking good. Even on a level of not being a Star Wars fan.
Uh-huh.
It's cool because you know and you're involved in all these characters and the storylines of what's happened. But Mando and Grogu, who are the two main people in this, it's just so awesome. Like, I literally got chill bumps when they first came
Grogu
back on screen.
Is Grogu like a newer, because I never heard him from like Star Wars. Is he a newer, because I know they're creating a lot of new things and people.
So Grogu and Mando were not a part of any of the original Star Wars.
Gotcha. Okay, so
but
whole new
they
thing.
Are still part of the storyline in the sense. There's connections because Grogu is what used to be Baby Yoda. He is Baby Yoda.
Okay, gotcha.
But his name is Grogu.
Does he evolve into Yoda at some point?
We don't know. I mean, he's still technically a baby at this point, but he's a species of Yoda. So he's not like a young Yoda. Gotcha. He's just the same species.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
But the Jedi are involved. Mandalorians are involved. And so there's definitely connections to that Star Wars story and a lot of things that happened. And a lot of old characters have made appearances in the show over the course of time. So it's really, really good. But just like, I'm not kidding. It is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
So this is the second season of it?
That's third. What it is? This is third. The first episode of the third.
I haven't even seen any of it. I'm so far behind on all that.
I know. Did you watch the original Star Wars movies?
Oh, yeah, I've watched the original Star Wars. Yeah, I've seen Star Wars.
Then I'm telling you, like, even if you don't watch anything else, like, this series is far and above one of my favorite. Okay. It's just so good.
Okay.
And I haven't steered you wrong yet.
No, you haven't. I'm trying to think. Have you? No. You gave me Upload. Upload was probably one of the best suggestions you've given me, I feel like.
You did love that one.
That was awesome. Yeah. You haven't steered me wrong yet, so we're good.
See? I'm telling you.
I trust you still.
This is a good one. And Pedro Pascal is the one that plays Mandalorian.
Okay, cool.
And I just love him as an actor as well. He's like major popular right now. He's been in a lot of things. But yeah, Mandalorian came out.
Did they give you the full season at once, or they like slow dripping it?
No,
nope,
just
school?
One episode.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yep, it's really good. But now I'm like, and they end it all. They always end it on a freaking cliffhanger.
Oh, of course they do. Hell yeah, that's the way it was when you'd watch live television. You get to this huge cliffhanger, and then it'd be like someone's about to jump off a cliff, and they would stop and be like, "Next week on Fugitive." And you're like, "Oh,"
and then you're like, "Dang!" And that's how I was sitting. I was like, "You've got to be kidding me!"
Yeah, hell yeah, I'm all about that.
Yep. So it's very good. Okay, you will enjoy it.
All right, cool.
That's my recommendation, but. Also, do you remember the Scary Movie series?
Yeah, with
like the funny Scary Movies.
Yes, where they based it a parody of Scream.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
And Casper. Obviously, you were talking about the actor in Casper.
Yeah, Devin Sawa, yeah.
So I watched like the best modern mix of those two movies in a long time.
Of Casper and Scary Movie? That's a weird combination.
I know. And speaking of Anthony Mackie, he's in it. He stars in it.
Oh, okay.
It's a new Netflix movie called We Have a Ghost.
Oh, I saw that. It was in my like suggestion things.
And it was so good. I loved every minute of it. Of course, has cheesy moments. That's why I say, like, it is.
Oh, I'm okay with some cheese.
It's Scary Movie and Casper combined. Because, like, there's definitely an emotional thing that happens. There's hilarious moments that I laughed out loud. Okay. I was crying at the end.
Oh, it's got the guy from Stranger Things in it, David Harbour.
Yep.
It's got Tig Notaro. I love her.
Yeah, it's just great cast. Just so, so good.
Really cool.
And I don't like scary movies. Like, this is definitely, like, a humor scary type situation. That's why I say it's the perfect combination of Scary Movie series and Casper.
Yeah, really cool. Okay, yeah, I seen previews for it and I was like, maybe I'll get to whatever. I feel like I know Tig. Like, I know her personally.
Really?
Why do I feel like I know her?
I think the only girl that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, her. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I was thinking of the wife in the movie, but yes, she is in it.
I feel like I know her, like from way back in the day, like San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. She looks so familiar. Like, I've seen her and talked to her.
She's also in a decent amount of shows, too.
Okay.
But I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But she's definitely a big actor. I'm a big fan of Anthony Mackie. He's great.
Yeah, I love him. He's awesome. Yeah, he's cool.
So that whole, I'm telling you, this is a great movie. So if you have some downtime this weekend to watch it, because I think you'll get a good laugh. It's like full of satire. And it was just like the whole movie from start to finish was very enjoyable.
I'll have to watch it. Can my kids watch it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a kid.
Yeah, it's not like there's nothing bad in it that happens. I don't even think there's any cuss words. Maybe there might be one or two, like,
I
where they get scared.
The house, it's fine.
Yeah, like, I don't even think there's cuss words in it.
Yeah.
It's very, like, family friendly.
Okay, cool.
And not scary at all. There's, like, moments where they, you know, they try and get you.
Yeah, but it's, like, Disney
but
scary.
But it's fake.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
So, I think you'll like that one. Okay. That's another. So, if Mandalorian and We Have a Ghost on Netflix.
Okay, all right, cool.
Those are my two suggestions.
How long is it, a long movie, or we're like talking like old school 90 minutes?
Yeah, I think it's maybe an hour and a half. It didn't feel long. I don't actually know the runtime on it, but it didn't feel long because it was so good.
Okay, cool.
So I think you'll like it. And that's all I have. You got any others besides your Wreck-It Ralph series?
I think that's the only thing he's been watching is Wreck-It Ralph. I'm trying to think. And then he's, I don't know why, but he's like recently become obsessed with watching alternative-ish rock songs paired with almost like movie promos Because he likes Sonic and all that. So he's been listening to the ever living crap out of Fall Out Boy. Because for some reason, Sonic and Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy and Sonic are going to be the death of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's, and then also because they're paired with, they're very much Disney now. Because Fall Out Boy sings the Big Hero 6 and all that. And like Spider-Man, Spider-Universe theme songs.
Let's like not play it under. I mean, these guys are underrated when it comes to creating theme music.
Oh, but they have that. And what's cool is they're the sound. They're the perfect, because even when they were newer back in the 2000s, I was like, they have a very theatrical sound to their performance, their vocals, the music. I was always like, this is like movie music, this is TV show music, and they finally kind of like got in there and did it. And music has always been featured, but now it's like they are the staple for Disney cartoons and action hero type for kids movies.
And I never saw that coming. I never saw like
never.
Fall Out Boy collab Disney. I just never pictured that, but it's perfect.
And now they're all parents. They got kids that love it and watch it. So I'm sure for them, it's like, this is so cool. My kids probably now finally get to care about my music because it's in things they care about.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so he loves freaking Centuries, Fall Out Boy. Centuries. And he has like a whole dance routine.
It's
and he
fair.
Listens to it. And like, it's like, oh my God. And then he loves Imagine Dragons Believer because that's another song that they play within these videos or whatever. And I'm like, I'm listening to songs that I used to hear in the radio and then eventually not want to hear it anymore. And now I'm hearing it around my house over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm over it. But I love him and I don't want to like kill the creativity because then he goes down to the drum set and tries to play Believer on my drum set. And
oh, you gotta let that keep happening.
Yeah, I don't want to kill the creativity. So in my head, I'm like, this is so stupid, so I'm playing it. But I'm like, I don't want to be like other people and be like, stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. You gotta let him keep exploring.
Exactly. Exploring is key.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And speaking of your kids, Scuba Steve, I want to hear how everything's going. You got three kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a whole thing happening at your house. So I want to hear all about
it. It's a full whole thing.
What's going on?
So it's, I think we talked about it somewhat. And I don't know what we talk about on the show or we're in the hallways or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the interesting part of it is the dynamic of three kids that are all under five and then trying to navigate through that. And then they're all trying to figure them, like they're all learning everything from scratch. You got a kid who's almost five and he's trying to figure out everything. He's about to start going to school and stuff. So that's a whole thing. And then you have my daughter who's two and she just got potty trained and we're trying to figure things out with her. And then you have the infant and that's a whole nother thing. And then they're trying to acclimate with the infant. And then my wife doesn't work anymore. So she's trying to acclimate to not working anymore, being a stay-at-home mom and family's not around. So, oh my God, it is a whirlwind right now. A lot.
I bet. I mean, a lot. Do you feel like your older two kids have accepted the new one?
Oh yeah, they love her.
And okay.
Like my oldest loves holding her and he tries to pick her up and walk around, which is very scary over the wood floors.
You're like, no, we're not quite there yet.
Well, like I would put him in her lap and then I'm like, hey, hold her for a second. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom or let me grab a bottle or something. And I'll come back and I'm like, look, Dad, I'm carrying her. And I'm like, ah, put her down, put her. Oh, cool. Oh, really? Oh, awesome, dude. Okay, go back to the couch, sit back down. Well, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to like always be like telling them no or what. So I'm like, oh, wow, good job, bud. Okay.
But you're also like internally screaming.
Yes, exactly. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs inside, like, oh my God, please don't drop her. Don't drop her. Don't drop her. And I don't want to scare him because then he will drop her. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, good job. Now go towards the couch now and sit back down. So there's a lot of that, like everyone kind of learning each other.
Yeah.
And everyone's, because everyone's in different stages of their lives, like completely different stages of their lives. So it's just a lot of that and a lot. It's emotionally draining. And then having a full-time job and then my wife having a different kind of full-time job and then coming home and trying to find time for us. And it is, it's, I mean, I don't want to complain, but it's kind of sound like a, you know, sound like in that way, because I'm blessed with all the great things that I have, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine what that's like having three kids. Like I can't even imagine one.
And I wanted it. I asked for it. So it's like, I can't say, how'd this happen? I asked for it.
No, you wanted it and you do want it. And as you know, they get older and there's going to be so many exciting things that happen, but definitely in this moment when you guys are all learning and understanding things, it's hard.
It's hard. Dang. It's real hard, but it's real.
How is your wife doing?
She is she's doing fine. She's doing as good as she can again because she's transitioning from. She's always had. I mean, she has her master. She has her degree. Like she has her full on degree. Master's? Yeah. No, bachelor's. Oh my God. She has a bachelor's degree. Hey,
honestly, she has a master's in being a mom. So yes, I take it.
That's yeah, exactly. A master's or mom. She has her bachelor's, but she wanted to go for a master's, but went the career route. And like she's always worked full time since she was like 15, 16. So always been a career driven person and going to school and working full time and all that stuff. So this is her first time to have been able to have pulled back away from the work world and then put into a family, which is a whole different thing. It's another full-time job. It's a lot. It's stressful. And she's breastfeeding and trying to watch two other kids while I'm at work. And then I'm trying to come home as fast as I can, but I still have a lot of things I got to do. And then I always feel guilty being here late. So I'm trying to like balance my work schedule of coming home and then working from home a little bit. But it's hard work from home because as soon as I get home and I put the laptop down, the kids want to play at my laptop and they're they're misfiring emails or like deleting things. And I'm having to go back and find it.
That's why I'm getting random emails that say, okay.
Yes, if you ever get anything weird or it's a half email or I didn't respond to something, it's probably because I got deleted or they sent an email I shouldn't have sent. And then I'm trying to, and I'm not trying to be an ass and trying to like tell them like, no, because I want to be able to be present while I'm home, but I'm also still having to try to find my time to do my thing and be on a conference call and trying to be a family man and navigate and balance this. And it is difficult. It is so difficult. So
I praise y'all so much because parenting life, I don't know if I'm cut out for it, but I love it for you guys. Yeah.
And it's not for everyone. Not everyone is meant to be a parent or be a parent of multiple kids or whatever, or be a parent at certain times in their life. It's difficult. I mean, it is a beautiful thing. If you ever do decide to have children, it's really cool. It's beautiful. It is amazing. Through all of this like craziness, it's still really, really amazing and really awesome. And to be able to be a part of that process.
What was one moment you've had with the kids recently where you're like, okay, this is all worth it?
When like my oldest had a meltdown and then he was like, you're trying to calm him down because he's almost five and he doesn't get it. He's trying to figure out his emotions. And you're also trying to balance the attention between three because he was the oldest. And for a while there, he got all the attention. And then a new one comes along. He still got a lot of attention because then mom would be with the daughter and I'd be with my son. And so we still kind of split it. Now you have three. So it's full on whatever. So one day he had like a full like meltdown and I don't even know what it was about. Like maybe he's brushing his teeth or something stupid, but it was mostly because he was tired. And then I had to go to the basketball practice or something. And then we got in the car and then he did this thing where he's like, and he called me by my first name. And I was like, he goes, Steven. And I was like, for a second, Steven. And I was like, who the hell are you calling my real name? He goes, Steven. And I was like, Steven. He goes, I'm sorry, Dad. He goes, I'm really sorry for the way I acted earlier. And I'm just really, I'm really emotional right now. I have really big feelings.
Wow.
And he was like, but I love you. He's like, come here, big guy. Give me a hug.
Oh my God.
I was like, and I like started to like, try to like hold back my tears. And I was like, wow, okay, this is worth it. And then my wife texted me like a moment later. I think, yeah, we were at basketball practice. It's so hard to bring three kids to basketball practice. That ain't happening. So then she texted me and she was having a good moment with my two daughters. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, she was like, this is all worth it. And I was like, yeah, like he just called me Steven. And and he told me to come here, big guy, and give me a hug. And so like we have those little moments every once in a while when something goes crazy and blows up.
I love that you guys had it at pretty much the same time and just different scenarios.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. So it's like, okay, this is all worth it. And we have little nuggets of those of those shining light moments every once in a while. And it's like, makes you go, okay, this is worth it. I'm down. This is cool.
It is. That's what, well, I had to know because I know it's hard and I know there's a lot of things, but I know there also has to be a reason where you're like, okay, I get it. This makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You're like, as you have a big sigh, you're like, yes.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing about everything and talking with me and hanging out this weekend. Can you tell the people where they can find you on all the things?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can definitely find me on Be Real. I'm for sure there.
The sarcasm is real with this one.
We'll Be Real. I'll be real with you. I ain't on Be Real and I ain't on TikTok. But I am on the OGs. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter. And you can find me at Scuba Steve Radio. Mm-hmm, that symbol, Scuba Steve Radio.
That is true. And even at the OOG MySpace, if you can find it.
If you can find it. I don't even know if I want to tell you because the URL still works and there's photos there. And I'm not proud of some of the photos maybe. But if you're really good at sleuthing and figuring things out and putting some pieces together, you can find my MySpace account.
Well, hey, if you find his MySpace account, make sure you follow him. And maybe you'll become one of his top eight friends,
maybe. Yeah,
because nobody else is on there.
Yeah, some are still there, but like the page is like the image is broken because it no longer exists.
Oh my goodness! Well, you can find me on all the things at Web Girl Morgan, all the OG and the new things, because you know I gotta. But the show is also on all the things because they got it too. Well, also technically me at Bobby Bones Show on all the things that you can follow us and listen to this show. Make sure you follow the podcast, but.
Yeah, listen to the show. We work really hard to put this dang thing together.
No, okay? we don't work at all, apparently, to some of y'all. We don't work. Yeah, some of
you. Oh, I love when someone's like, you just guys just wake up and crack the mic and start talking. I was like, oh, I wish it was that easy. And the shows that do that, you can tell that they literally just roll out of bed and start talking because the show sounds like, but.
And on that note, happy weekend, friends. Scuba, thanks again. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you, too. I appreciate it. Have fun at the Super Secret Show.
Super Secret Show. I will. And I am doing something very exciting this weekend.
What's that?
Trapeze.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
I'm very excited.
Hell yeah. That's so cool.
So
I can't wait to see the video.
Hopefully I don't die.
Yeah.
You will see them.
You won't die, but just hopefully you don't injure yourself.
That's true. But Scuba, I do everything for the plot.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's possible that becomes a plot line.
Go hard. Have fun. Come home hungry.
Oh, bye, y'all. The Bobby Bones Show. Uh-huh.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.